91.3 FM, WLVR FM in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I am Sinatra. You're inside the Blast Furnace. Right there, Derek and the Dominoes, Eric Clapton and the crew, with Key to the Highway live at the Fillmore East in 1970. Before that, a triple shot of Zeppelin. We're doing a lot of doubles and triples today. The Ocean and Rock and Roll was requested from Bob Crack after he heard a little bit of Since I've Been Loving You, and all of which were from How the West Was Won album recorded in L.A. in 1972. He said he really liked the sound of Since I've Been Loving You in the recording, so we threw on a couple more tracks for him, and I hope he enjoyed them. Like I said, I'm Sinatra, and this is a very special Blast Furnace because we'll be joined by Derek Trucks and in a little bit. Well, not joined. I spoke to him the other day and recorded it. I'm going to play it back for you. And we're going to play some tracks from the new album that we talked about and different things like that. And also, you'll get a chance to win the new album already free, courtesy of Legacy Recordings. So we'll get to that as well. So you probably want to hear the album, and then you know, I'll back sell, and we'll play the recorded interview for you and for you to enjoy it. But the album is really good up and down. It sounds awesome. And we're going to play the first track. It's a Bob Dylan cover, and it's called Down in the Flood on WLVR.
Waters don't overflow. Swamps gonna rise, no boats gonna roll. Now you can train on down to Williams Point. You can bust your feet, you can rock this jump, but mama ain't gonna miss your best friend now. Gonna have to find yourself another best friend somehow. Now don't try and move me, you're just gonna lose. There's a crash on the levee, your mama you will refuse. Well, it's sugar for sugar, salt for salt. If you go down in the flood, it's gonna be your own fault. Oh, mama, ain't you gonna miss your best friend now? Gonna have to find yourself another best friend somehow.
Hey, this is Derek Trucks, and you're listening to WLVR 91.3 in Bethlehem.
back door. The dog is barking. I'm back for more. And every day, and every friend I, you know the mood's gonna fit you and the feeling's gonna make it all.
91.3 FM, WLVR in Bethlehem. Couple songs there from the Derek Trucks Band. That one was All I Do from Songlines. That's not from the new album. That's from Songlines from 2 years ago. Before that, Something to Make You Happy, track number two off Already Free, and Down in the Flood. And it was an awesome experience to get to interview him. He's one of my favorite artists right now and all time, really. He's just such great stuff, and everything he touches is gold. It's just awesome. Awesome stuff. And it was great to get down and sit with him and talk to him. And it was kind of crazy because I was told about the opportunity for an interview Tuesday night. I was in the library because I had three tests last week. And then it was supposed to be Thursday morning, and I was gonna skip class to do this interview. And it turns out he was flying back to the East Coast or something, and the interview got pushed to Friday morning. So I didn't have to skip class, but it was sandwiched in between two tests perfectly. So I had a test from 8 to 9. I ran up to the station. I interviewed him from 9:30 to about 10, and then I had another test at 11. And I don't know how well I performed on those two tests. I wasn't too comfortable, but at least I got to interview Derek Trucks. So well worth the compromise. And it was great to talk to him, and I'll give you a little taste. And there was a little interruption in the middle, and I'll explain that when it comes up. But regardless, I'm going to go ahead and hit it. It's me with a little Derek Trucks. So on January 13th, the latest studio album from the Derek's Truck Band, entitled Already Free, was released on Victor Records. And today I'm privileged to be joined by the man whom the band takes the name, and one of the great musicians of our times, Derek Trucks.
Hey, man.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Doing well.
Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Likewise. I appreciate your time.
Thanks. First off, I want to congratulate you on the new album. I've listened to it through a bunch of times, and it sounds great.
Nice.
It's up and down. It's a terrific record.
Beautiful, man. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
The whole band is.
Definitely, definitely. And it's doing great on the charts. I think it debuted at 19 on Billboard.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. I thought that there was some weird misprint. Maybe 1900.
But. No, definitely. No, it's no surprise. It's a great record, and you guys are definitely growing in popularity. For sure.
Yeah, you know, all the years of being on the road, it's starting to line up finally. So we're appreciative for sure.
Yeah, definitely major recognition you're getting, and number one on the blues chart, which is, you guys frequent that a lot and do very well. So congratulations, awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the number one spot on the blues chart is usually my wife's spot. So
yeah,
I know she's out on tour now trying to get it back.
very good. I'd also like to thank the group and the record company for sending us some albums. We received 10 copies of the new album, Already Free.
Nice. Pass it around.
Yeah, definitely. And you're definitely have a good fan base here in the Lehigh Valley. So these albums are definitely something our listeners will appreciate. So thanks a lot.
Cool, man.
Yeah, definitely. And so now that we've kind of led into the album a little bit, can you discuss it a little bit? Tell us how you feel. Maybe some inspiration of the record and what you feel about the result of what you have.
You know, this record felt completely different than any record we've ever done, and mainly because you know, we built a studio behind our house in Florida, and there was something nice about you know, building a studio from the ground up. You know, we did a lot of the work ourselves, and then getting to produce the record in house. You know, we had complete control over the whole thing, and there was really no time constraint because you're not worried about studio time and paying by the hour, which is usually the way you record a record. So it was nice, man. I had the first real break I had in about 10 or 15 years, the first month off. And, you know, it was something great about waking up at home with your family, driving your kids to school in the morning, and then heading out in the studio and getting to work and, you know, writing a song in the morning and recording it that day and mixing it that evening. It was just such a nice experience being home, having the band and friends staying out in the studio. It was just, you know, Doyle Bramhall came down, Oteil Burbridge, Warren Haynes. It was just constant musicians coming and going, and it was a really nice experience.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's right at your fingertips. You walk downstairs from your bedroom, and you're in the recording studio.
Yeah, I mean, we built the studio about 100 yards from the house, so you have to actually leave and pretend that you're going to work.
It gets that feeling, right? You get out of the house a little bit.
Exactly. I have a briefcase with nothing in it, so I pretend that I have a job.
Very good, very good. How about musically? How do you think this album differs from your previous albums? I mean, every album is a transformation, and definitely for you guys. So how about musically? How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel like because the making of this record was so relaxed and I feel like it was a more personal record, you know? I feel like all the influences and all the things that we've gone through as a band and personally over the last decade are really reflected on this record differently, you know? I think in the past where we would do a Qawwali tune, a straight-ahead jazz tune, a blues tune, everything was really really true to the genre we were trying to play. I think this record, all those influences are much more subtle and kind of distilled down into what to me feels like an actual band sound and a unit sound. And I think it's a more mature record, you know?
Yeah, I actually agree with you. And one thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, you can a lot of times pick out in previous albums and tracks, not only you get a whole, you know, sound that you're creating, but also you can pick out the individual influences. And this one, you're definitely getting a more of a whole thing going with all the sounds and kind of flowing together. And I guess, like you said, it is a bit of a mature album. It's, you know, every album is a transformation.
That's right. For sure. You know, I think with this record, there was also the fact that we got to do it ourselves and produce it ourselves. And I think the band is a little more comfortable in its skin with it. You don't feel like every time you do a record or every time you perform, you have something to prove. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little mature in the fact that you can just play what feels good to play what feels natural, and you know, and just kind of let it fly and see, you know, follow the inspiration, follow. You know, we were writing really a song a day for a while. I mean, we'd wake up in the morning and somebody would bring an idea in, and we'd hammer it out throughout the day and then record it. And there was something really nice about capturing the birth of a song, the birth of an idea, and really the first or second take was the first or second time we ever played the song. And a lot of this record is that. It gives it a fresh feel to me. Even the covers, with the exception of maybe two tunes on the record, everything that's on this record was either performed for the first time that day or written that day. So I think it has a completely different feel than anything we've done.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, you know, when I was reading the way they made Kinda Blue, the Miles Davis record, and mm-hmm. you know, Miles kept all the charts away from the band because he wanted to get their first take on it. He wanted to hear, you know, how they interpret a song.
Yeah. You're getting the raw feel of the musician and the sound that they're going to create.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Hey, give me 2 minutes. We might have to pause this. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Now what just happened here, it was something very odd. We're in the middle of the interview, and you can hear it kind of crackling and then wind blowing. And then he asked me to give him 2 minutes. And then I hear, like, wind blowing and him talking to someone at a distance. And I didn't want to be rude or anything. I mean, it's Derek Trucks. You can't be, like, hollering at him or I don't know what's going on, you know? So, and then I hear, like, a truck star, and it's very peculiar. And then he comes back on, and he explains what happened. So I'll continue it, but we didn't need the 2 minutes of, like, odd noises. But, yeah, we'll get back to it.
Hey, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you.
Cool. Sorry, the FedEx guy was beating the door down.
It's cool. don't worry about it.
We can edit it up.
Yeah, I got it. Don't worry about it.
All right.
I was just discussing your, you know, your influences, and you have so many influences. Just for our listeners, can you briefly go over some of your major influences and of the group?
You know, my first influences were Duane Allman, Elmore James, mm-hmm. B.B. King. I mean, it was listening to the Fillmore East, Eat a Peach, mm-hmm. the Derek and the Dominoes records, and then it really, it kind of broadened to a lot of horn players. Wayne Shorter, you know, John Coltrane, Miles, a lot of the great jazz composers and instrumentalists, and a lot of vocalists too, Mahalia Jackson and Aretha and Stevie Wonder and Otis Redding, a lot of the soul music.
Yeah.
And, you know, the band, it's a combination of all of those things.
It is. It has so many different sounds, so many influences, and just terrific. I mean, on your albums, and also I've seen you live, both with the Allman Brothers and with the Derek Trucks Band, and it's just sensational experience. It's just awesome, awesome live show.
Cool, man.
Yeah. And we talked, just you briefly mentioned some, you know, your influences, and you mentioned, you know, speaking and singing also, and I wanted to get into also how you developed your signature sound, and it is signature, and it's pretty much synonymous with your name. And can you elaborate a little bit on how you came to your signature sound and what you strive for in your playing and tone?
You know, for me, I was fortunate. I started so young that a lot of the stuff I picked up, I just never thought about. You know, when you're gigging at 9 or 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
You're just trying to find what works for you. And you know, for me, it became a Gibson SG plugged into an old Fender amplifier and cranking it up till people yelled at you to turn it down. Finding that threshold, and you know, I mean, originally it was definitely Duane Allman's sound and Little Walter and Howlin' Wolf, like those, that sensibility, those sounds that I was really striving for. And then, you know, since then it's kind of become a combination of all the influences, whether it's Indian classical players or vocalists, or just trying to get a really lyrical sound out of your thing.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about the lyrical sound, and something that I notice when I listen to you is your playing is almost like it's similar to almost a great speaker. Like if you listen to a Martin Luther King Jr. speech, and he adds emphasis and takes breaks and you know, high points and low points, and allows breaks for your listener to absorb what you're playing and what they're hearing. Is that something you strive for? Or is it just kind of an innate thing that you kind of go with?
I mean, it's a combination. I mean, I've definitely thought about those things. I mean, there's a great Max Roach interview where he's talking about drummers taking solos, and he's like, it doesn't matter what instrument you play, you have to breathe. If,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, if you play a fill, you need to take a kind of a breath with your instrument. And you know, it's important to tell a story, and you should be speaking to people. And I mean, there's times on the bus where we actually will put on CDs of great speakers, the great Martin Luther King speeches, you know, because you can draw so much out of that. And there's I think most of the great musicians, the great soloists especially, when they play, you feel like they're telling you a story. You're not always sure what the story is, but there's definitely something being communicated to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in a little bit, you touched a little bit with, you know, just any instrument, playing and breathing. And one thing, a little bit of my music teaching taught me, one of the most important things actually is knowing when to play and also knowing when not to play.
I mean, you know, with anything, there's no light without dark. It's always the push and pull, and if you don't leave space and you don't breathe and you're playing, then you know you wear people out pretty quickly. So it's important. And you know, one of the things that I really admired about being on the road with Clapton is how he always seemed to leave the audience wanting more. You know, he would never show his whole bag of tricks.
Yeah,
he'd always save a little, and sometimes it would even frustrate people, but they would keep coming back.
Yeah, you want more. They keep coming back.
Yeah, exactly. So if you can fill up a hall for 40 years straight, you're on to something.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned Clapton and some other people that definitely influenced you. And now you've been playing for a long time, and you've gotten the opportunity to play with such great artists like that, and many of which you revered growing up. What is that like? What is it like going out on the road with Clapton, someone you grew up revering?
You know, it's a trip. I mean, there's definitely pretty surreal moments. There was a time on stage with him. I think it was somewhere in Denmark, maybe, where it was the first time I felt like the band was really clicking, where it felt like a band. And you know, it was just a great musical moment. Then I looked over and realized that the other guitar player was Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird.
Definitely.
Where did that come from?
It must be quite an experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's an honor to be asked to perform with those guys. And then, you know, the same with the Allman Brothers. I mean, they were my earliest influence. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've appreciated every moment on the road with them as well.
Definitely. We're talking about influences that, and you're being able to play with Clapton and other people. Do you have any few people that you would really want to play with that are who are no longer with us?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of them that I don't even know if I would even really want to play with them. I'd like to watch them do their thing, you know, seeing Dwayne or Coltrane or Hendrix or Otis Redding, or there's a ton of them. You know, I think I would almost rather sit in the audience and watch them work.
I didn't even think of that. I'm like, yeah, just being able to witness that and not even play with them. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because, you know, I know what I sound like. I've heard that before. I'd like to go to see them. But Howlin' Wolf is another one.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen Wolf in his prime.
Definitely. We talked a little bit earlier about your family and being home, producing the album, and I'm sure family is very important to you, in both your musical family and your immediate family. So how do you manage being so busy? And I know the new home studio is part of that, but being so busy on the road with two, sometimes three bands, being on the road so often with your wife, very talented Susan Tedeschi, and your two children, how do you manage with that?
You know, it's a juggling act. It's you end up just burning the candle at both ends, you know, when you have to. So, like on this last tour, my wife is on the West Coast touring. My kids are at home, and every three shows I'll have 2 days off, and then just hop a plane home. So you spend 40 hours at home, you know, with your kids, and then hit the road, and so you do a lot of creative traveling, you know, and hope that the plane schedule stays on track so you don't miss any gigs. But you know, you have to make it work. So you know, we're fortunate to both have working bands and both be, you know, especially in the light of the economy as it is now, it's amazing to be able to do what we do. So you have to keep doing it. I mean, we have a lot of people that rely on us to make ends meet. So we hit the road as hard as we can. But you know, first priority is always your kids. Once you have kids, that jumps to number one on the list, and number two is always a little bit ways down. But you know, we make it work. I mean, anytime the kids are out of school, they're on the road with us, and we schedule time off so we can all be together. And it's I'm really fortunate that my mom and brother and his wife and my sister all live within a few miles of my house in Florida. So it takes a village, and we have a strong support system.
That's great. That's awesome. I know you're busy, and we'll get wrapping up real quick. I have two more questions for you. With the constant touring, and you're so busy, and just discussing everything with your family, what do you like to get away? I mean, for me, playing music is actually getting away. For you, that's everything you do. What do you do to do outside of music to get away a little bit?
You know, the studio can serve as that too, because it's not the music that wears you out; it's the traveling and the constant schedule. Sometimes being able to duck out to the studio and just write, record, listen to music, listen to vinyl, you know, that'll do it. But you know, also me and my brother, we love getting out on the ocean. We love, you know, getting 50 miles offshore and fishing, or just getting away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The water straightens me out.
The soothing water. One last question is on a lot of pictures inside the album, and I saw a picture of Virgil Trucks with a Detroit Tigers uniform on. Who is that?
Virgil, he's still around. He's about 92 years old, and he pitched, I think, for 15 seasons in the majors, and a great pitcher. In 1952, he threw two no-hitters in one season. I think it's only happened maybe five times, and he no-hit the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, the last person to do it. Solo. So he was great. Ted Williams always said he was the toughest pitcher he ever faced, and they had Virgil Trucks Day at Fenway Park a few years ago. My wife Susan sang the anthem, and I got to throw a first pitch. It was pretty great.
That's great. Awesome. Well, I know you're very busy, so I'll let you go. I want to thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, man.
And there you go. I got to have a little conversation with Derek Trucks. A great honor for me. Very, very exciting. And I think it went pretty well. We got to talk a little bit. He was a busy guy and only got about 15, 20 minutes with him. But nonetheless, very good. And a big shout out to Ashek for hooking up that interview. He's so good with all of our interviews and all that. So a big thanks and shout out to him, and also Legacy Recordings for hooking us up with everything, and also the albums that we're gonna give away. And you have a chance to win the new album, Already Free, from the Derek Trucks Band, just released a month ago. And we will also throw in a T-shirt of your size choice, a WLVR T-shirt, and a bumper sticker too. So ninth caller will receive these great. This great prize to 610-758-3913. We'll get the prize. So again, 610-758-3913. The ninth caller will win. But we'll get playing some more of these tunes from the album. And if you like it, then give a call in. You can win one. So this one's called I Know from Already Free. And it's WLVR.
Come and show me how it feels to really be loved. And I won't be blue.
WLVR in Bethlehem. We got a winner. Congratulations, Kenny from Bethlehem. You are the winner of the Blast Furnace Derek Trucks prize pack. You've got a t-shirt, a copy of Already Free, the new album from the Derek Trucks Band, and a bumper sticker coming your way. So congratulations to you. And if you're really looking forward to winning the album and you didn't, sorry, but you can get a chance the rest of this week and next week as Legacy Recordings hooked us up with 10 albums for Already Free. And you can check it out. Listen throughout the week and you can win an album. And always tune to WLVR for great tunes. And I got about 15 minutes left before the pain train comes in. So I might as well just keep it going with the Derek Trucks, because I had a caller that missed the winnings, but he quickly said that he's in a league of his own, and that is very true. So hit up a little more Derek Trucks stuff and enjoy it. It's the Blast Furnace in 91.3. Stay here. Then again, I wanna leave.
Take a train and ride away.
LVR, we're just shutting down the blast furnace here. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed the interview. I think it went pretty well, and it was awesome to talk to him. So thank you for listening. Keep tuned in to WLVR as always, and a chance to win already free from the Derek Trucks Band. I'm going to leave you with one more track before the safety screen, and this is an example of Derek Trucks with the Allman Brothers. It's Ain't Wasting Time No More, recorded a couple years ago, an awesome slide guitar as always. Thanks you for listening, and students off next week, but back in 2 weeks, so you can catch me in 2 weeks from 4 to 6 here on Tuesdays. It's 91.3.